Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger, filling in today for Ted Maxwell's Engagement Hour. General Maxwell is a pretty busy guy, running both the SALC and RTA and various other acronyms. I think he's probably still in about that 6.5 hour RTA meeting right now. So I am stepping up to the plate today to cover you on Engagement Hour. And so we're going to talk a lot about local politics, local restaurants, and other things that are affecting your life here in the 520. To begin with, the Arizona Legislative Session finished up their budget on Saturday. Sine die happened, right? For those that didn't take 4 years of Latin in high school, it basically means without a day. It's the end of the legislative session. They are complete. I am super excited that A, this part is finished, but B, that SCR 1040 that I've been pounding on for the last number of weeks actually passed and referred to the ballot. So the Tipped Worker Protection Act is going to sit on an otherwise crowded ballot for you in November. As we talked about last week on Jump in Tucson, looking at doing a show about tips on July 9th, we're still waiting to see if the One Fair Wage / Raise the Wage AZ ballot initiative makes its way onto Arizona's ballot. They've got to get 255,000 signatures by July 3rd to make that happen, which is why we picked that date on the 9th. So I am going to keep you guys informed about that. Now, with the end of the legislative session finishing up on last Saturday, this means that the new laws are going to go into effect in the state of Arizona on September 14th. This also affects the food service greatly with, as if you can remember, the tamale bill, right? A bill that has gone to remove some parts of health department authority on cottage food production. And this is going to be a big deal here in southern Arizona. It's not going to change suddenly on the 15th of September that you're going to have 1,000 apartment complexes kicking out tamales and tortillas, but you watch over the next few months about how this changes food production and distribution in the state of Arizona. I think you are going to really see a whopper. There's probably going to be some lawsuits. There's going to be some controversy. The health department's going to get involved. This one is going to get saucy. Speaking of saucy, downtown Tucson has been taking a number of hits recently, none more infamous than this morning, Ray Flores from El Charro Concepts posting about his windows getting broken out yet again at the Charro Del Rey Charro Steak facility that he's got on Broadway. How many times do we have to see these poor local restaurateurs getting their properties damaged downtown before we really take action and do something about this? Anecdotally, I've heard that Penka has been damaged recently and other restaurants as well, too. Do we have a serial window breaker going around downtown causing thousands of dollars in damage? Ray has had his windows broken so often down there that I hypothesize that he might, quite frankly, need to be in the glass business as opposed to being in the tamale or a restaurant business in any capacity. Truly an unfortunate set of circumstances. Now, I've been pulling a lot of my downtown and Tucson news recently from an interesting news source that's outside of the Arizona Daily Star. If you're paying attention to the news, you could see that Lee Enterprises is looking at possibly offloading their stake in the Arizona Daily Star, and it's kind of on its last legs right now. And a number of reporters have run off to do their own reporting and have got their own website and email blast, and that's Tucson Agenda. And this is something that I do think you, our listeners, should pay attention to. If you're listening to Jump in Tucson, you're probably involved in some capacity politically, right? You do want to get out there and be engaged, and you're getting a lot of news now outside of traditional media sources, and this Tucson Agenda is something you should pay attention to. They may be a little further left of center than you, myself, and even some of the listeners over here, but you're getting more accurate information from Caitlin Schmidt and Kurt Pendergrass and a number of other ex-Daily Star reporters that have gone off to put out this news. And so this is something that I do think from a listenership you should pay attention to. This morning they had a piece on TMZ Tucson, which happens to be a local Twitter feed that shows videos of the various fights and issues that are going on downtown in sort of a world star, you know, explosive headlines with a lot of comments and basically people beating the crap out of each other at 12:30 at night on a Friday or Saturday downtown. And celebrating that stuff worries me a little bit. On top of that, Agenda has exposed that TMZ Tucson happens to be run and owned by a local Tucson constable, the constable that is part of the Constabulary District 2. And so, like, is that right that our local electeds, because we've had constable positions here on Jump In Tucson, and you've heard them as well, too, on Chris DeSimone's Wake Up Tucson preceding us, could they or should they be celebrating the things that are going on wrong downtown as well, too? I mean, it's truly factual. These are videos of actual fights and issues. But should our electives be advertising this and putting this out there? Is this the face that we want to have for downtown Tucson in our City of Gastronomy Awards and ways that we're trying to stimulate and get development in the downtown area? As we talked about last week on Jump in Tucson, we really have a sort of a perverse incentive right now to create more restaurants than the city might ordinarily support because of the way that Rio Nuevo's sales tax redistribution works. There just aren't a lot of other businesses out there that can generate sales tax in a way a restaurant can. And as such, Rio Nuevo goes out of their way to create an awful lot of restaurants in the downtown area to stimulate nightlife and development. The nightlife side is working. You guys go downtown and see what a Friday or Saturday night looks like at 11 p.m. It's hopping, right? There's a lot of bar hopping from place to place to place. That's part of the success of downtown Tucson, is the way people can park your car, or perhaps if you're a responsible individual like myself, take a ride share and go down and enjoy an adult beverage from place to place to place. But that works for bars. But does that work for restaurants? Can they survive on only Friday or Saturday night? I hypothesize no. You don't build churches for Christmas or Easter, and you can't have a downtown that's built only on a Friday or Saturday night. What happens in the city of Tucson in the middle of the day on a Tuesday or on a Wednesday? You know, food for thought for sure for you listeners out there to pay attention to, but do take a look at that Tucson agenda. As those that are plugged in trying to keep score on what's going on in our upcoming elections, you're going to get a little more information than you might get from the Arizona Daily Star. Now, speaking of election season, it is coming up hot and heavy. Today's June 18th. The primaries are coming on July 3rd. We've got an election coming up on the 30th. And when we come back after the break, we're going to talk about somebody that is no stranger to elections. We're going to bring on Pima County Supervisor District 3 candidate Janin Wittenbraker after the break on Jump in Tucson. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 1030 AM The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us on Jump in Tucson today. I'm your host, Grant Kruger, and we are joined live in studio with Janet J.L. Wittenbraker, candidate for Pima County Supervisor District 3. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning. I thought you were introducing me when you said talking about something saucy. I almost butted in.
That would have been saucy and spicy for our morning listeners over there as well, too.
That was fine.
So I had the pleasure of hearing Janet speak at the candidate evaluation forum for the Tucson Metro Chamber last week, and I thought she did a great job and thought she could come up and join us on our show over here, Jump in Tucson, and introduce you listeners to Janet J.L. Wittenbraker. So why don't we start? Give us a little background about yourself.
Well, I am a 35-plus-year professional. I have a diverse background. I'm currently a senior contracts administrator for a Fortune 500 company. Prior to that, I worked for a defense company here in Tucson, Arizona, as a contracts administrator. Prior to that, I worked for the City of Tucson City Manager's Office. And that is where I realized that the things that happen in our local government are the things that affect us every single day, not those things that happen at the presidential level. Of course, we're impacted by them, and of course, more so now that we have a careless administration in terms of securing our border. But your local government is what matters. But I, like so many other people, left the city of Tucson, and I complained for about 10 years.
We like to do that here on the radio as well, too. Have no fear.
And that's when I decided that I had to run for office. And now that I'm in the midst of it, I did run for mayor. I did not win that election, but I captured a good portion of the vote. more than I think the Democratic Party expected. And I believe we're coming back, and we'll come back in 2024, and then we're going to come back in 2025. But when I finally stepped up, I walked in, okay, there's something broken. We need to fix it. And now that I've been in it for over a year, I'm angry. I'm angry that we allowed for this to happen. And it's through apathy and ignorance that we've allowed for our government to overreach their statutory requirements.
Well, certainly that's, you know, a very strong statement there, Janet. And I want to back up quickly to this mayoral race over here and broach an uncomfortable topic of conversation that's kind of on my mind, and I think maybe on some listeners' minds as well, too. KVOI has a history of political advocacy, right? Christy Simone spends mornings saying, get out, get involved. And I do, too. I love when people get out and get involved in local politics and participate. But we certainly had a lot of interest in that mayoral race from even right here in this very booth in Bustos Media, right? Zach Yenser had a show, Tipping Point, on this, and Zach was, of course, an independent candidate for mayor. Dr. Ed Ackerley, who's, you know, currently, you know, the advertising sponsor for this show, also an independent candidate for mayor. You know, both of them went up against you in the mayoral race over here. Like, have you guys reached out and spoke after that? Have we buried that hatchet in any capacity?
Yes, we did bury the hatchet. As a matter of fact, Ed sent me a nice note this morning wishing me best of luck on the radio program. And look, politics make for interesting bedfellows, right? And they're not always friendly, but hopefully they're always at a professional level. We all wanted to win. I came into it very late. I came into it with just 6 months to spare. I am a Republican. I am a Republican Party person, and that is the party that I support. And so I would not back out, and neither would Ed. And in that, maybe we had a little rift here or there, but I think we're good friends now. And I fully support his nephew, Chris Ackerley, and his race for treasurer. And, of course, I adore Zach Yenser. Absolutely adore him. And I wish him the best of luck. We need strong candidates running for our local offices. Anyone who's listening, you can reach me at janet4pima.com if you're seriously considering a run for office, and I will help guide you. But I do want to say this, and I'm very sorry, my friends on the independent side. You are not a party, and because of that, you do not reap the benefits of a primary election. You cannot put out your campaign signs, and I think if you're serious about politics, you should consider a party.
Strong words there, but I do appreciate the commentary on that. And again, I apologize for going off script and asking that question, but I just felt like our listeners kind of wanted to know. And I think that everybody that takes a risk out there in politics, like, really learns, you know, some valuable lessons about how difficult this really is, both to raise money, right? Asking friends and family to commit, and having people have to take sides. We just heard, you know, this morning, Christy Simone is talking about the senator race in LD-17, and those sort of divisions that have happened amongst even the Republican Party, where picking sides becomes a big issue on there. What do you think we could do to help fix that rift in the Republican Party?
Well, not to be unkind, we need to grow up, understand that ours is but one vote on election day. When the masses, when the voters, the people who come to the ballot and submit their vote, when they decide who they want to represent them in the general election, we need to all rally behind them. 100%. I don't love every candidate in the race. I have my chosen favorites. I do. And after I vote and the people vote, whoever comes out ahead, I am on their side 100%. Nationally, we've seen the Republican Party fall down in this regard. And most certainly statewide.
No, it's happening in the state, and it's even happening in local politics as well, too. Now, there aren't a lot of primaries on the Republican side in the supervisory race outside of District 2. But let's go back to your race in District 3 over here. Last time around in the mayoral race, you got over 30,000 votes cast for you, 30,740, looking at the numbers here in front of me right now. You're going to need at least that many to win in the general on the District 3 race, right? And so let's talk about District 3. Like, where is that located exactly? Give me the geographic boundaries, more or less, of District 3 so our listeners can understand.
District 3 is the largest district in Pima County. As a matter of fact, just yesterday I was shocked to learn that it also includes Ajo. I had not realized that. So it's very large. Easy answer, it's on the west side of Pima County. More complicated and creatively drawn answer is it basically goes from north of Grant, west of Algernon, to I-10, out into Marana, out to Ajo, Tonono Nation, Three Points, down to Arivaca. So it's huge. And that means I have to be everywhere all the time. And I'm happy to be there. So if you're listening and you would like me to come pay your community a visit, and I haven't yet reached out to you, please reach out to me at janet4pima.com. I answer my emails quickly, and I am happy to make the drive to meet your neighbors and answer your questions.
That's fantastic, Janet. And I think you're going to have a lot of neighbors. I mean, that's a pretty big constituency. I understand there's over 100 miles of border as well, too, in District 3?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And they are, unfortunately, devastated by what is happening at our borders. And the crime that's coming in as a result. We know this. We know Tucson and Pima County are suffering the consequences of a wide open border. We know it in the fentanyl abuses, the crime, the homelessness. We see it. But not as much as those people on the border see it. And we need to stop it.
Without a doubt. So District 3, for those that aren't keeping score, is going to be a whole new district. There is going to be no incumbent running right now. The current incumbent was just an appointee who took the position under the auspice that she would not run again. And so there's four Democrats lined up in the primary going at each other over there. And there is no Republican challenger. So my understanding is you're going to pass directly through this primary, assuming you vote for yourself. You're in. You're hot and heavy. You're going to pass all the way to the ballot on the election on November 5th. Is there a candidate that you're most afraid of that you're, you know, running against, or one that you're looking forward to running against the four? Or are we not going to talk about their names on the radio here?
I'd say Beetlejuice three times before I'll talk about their names on the radio. Look, whoever it is, the voters need to understand there's no such thing as a moderate Democrat. And if we don't change how we're voting, we're not going to change our community.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Now, there is a Democrat voter registration favorite on that one. Like, what percentage of registered Democrat voters compared to Republicans and independents in District 3?
I couldn't give you the exact numbers. It is actually almost fairly evenly split, especially with District 3 picking up all of Marana. It wasn't Marana. The whole section of Marana was not in District 3. The interesting part is, When I'm knocking on doors, I'm reaching out to that voter who isn't the regular voter, and I'm reaching out to the independents. And when I'm knocking on doors, you hear a strong message of needing change and tired of government overreach. And when people say that, they look to the Republican Party to make that difference. So I think you're going to be very surprised by the huge turnout we're going to see.
No, there's going to be nearly 100,000 ballots cast in this particular election for just District 3. It's a pretty well-balanced district. When we come back after the break, we're going to follow up with Janet, talk about maybe the role and purpose of local government, some changes that she would implement right away if she were to win this election on November 5th as well, too. You're listening to Jump In Tucson on 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we got a couple more segments with Janet J.L. Wittenbraker coming up after the break. Welcome back, Tucson, Arizona, to Jump in Tucson. Nice little ad for Westward Look over there. Hopefully I saw some of your beautiful faces at the World Margarita Championships on Friday, where Reforma did not win. I'm calling election fraud right up here on the radio. Might have to elect my own, you know, electors over here and rethink those ballots for a little bit of a recount on that Margarita Championship. But in all seriousness, thanks for joining us and making us part of your morning commute and drive on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Jump in Tucson is a show that's been around for about 6 months now. Normally you'll see my beautiful voice or hear my voice on Wednesdays, but I've got Ted Maxwell following me up tomorrow, Tom Moulton from the Southern Arizona Attraction Alliance on Thursday, and Dr. Ed Ackerley on Friday on Jump in Tucson. But this morning we've got another segment with Janet J.L. Wittenbraker running for District 3 Pima County Supervisor. Welcome back, Janet.
Thank you.
So, Janet, we were going to talk about maybe a role and purpose of local government. You kind of hinted at this at the candidate evaluation forum. Give me your take on the role of local government and what we should be doing statutorily and what we're doing now that we shouldn't be.
Well, the role of your government is to govern at the consent of the governed and protect the rights. I would also add in and to ensure the proper allocation and spending of taxpayer funds. Right now, we have a situation in our local government, Pima County and Tucson, where there is governmental overreach. Good governance is not hard. It's actually easy if you do what the U.S. Constitution, the Arizona Constitution, and Arizona state statute calls out for. We know in Pima County that the Board of Supervisors voting majority have overreached their responsibilities. And particularly one recent example is their ordinance where the penalty on the person's Second Amendment right, the penalty for not reporting a loss or a stolen firearm within 28 hours is now has monetary penalty of $1,500, which is more stringent than the state law, which places Pima County in violation of the Second Amendment. And now they are being held to that by the Goldwater Institute. Well, they feel all good. They've patted themselves on the back. And again, I want to be clear, that's the voting majority. Steve Christie was a no vote against it. And who's going to pay for those attorney fees at the end of the day? We, the taxpayer, are going to pay for those attorney fees. That is a misuse of our taxpayer dollars. Additionally, and we did talk about this with the panel, is the county is providing pre-kindergarten care for individuals at taxpayer expense. That is not an expense the taxpayers are responsible for. Similar to loan forgiveness. If you signed up for it, then you bear the burden of paying that debt. So a child is not a debt, of course, but if you choose to have children in your life, you pay for the daycare costs associated with that. But you also reap the benefits from the tax breaks. But instead, the county has said, oh, no, 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 we'll take care of that for you. So taxpayers, you're going to take care of that. But I don't get any cut of those tax breaks. Same with student loan. Now, one thing you and I talked about before we even came on the air was in a past life, I was a building and fire inspector. And then I decided to go back to school as an adult. It had very much to do with the Diamond Children Medical Center, which is a wonderful center, but it had to do with my hard hat falling off at 15 stories up when I decided, hey, maybe I want to do something. So in order to do that, I incurred student loan. But I also make a significant amount of money, more money than I did back then, as a result of going for my bachelor's and completing my master's in legal studies from Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law. So why then should the taxpayers pay my debt? They're not reaping the benefits. And we see that over and over and over again. The Prosperity Initiative. in principle, it's a great idea. We want to get people out of poverty. But the reality is, it doesn't work. It ends up costing taxpayers more, including those taxpayers who are already living in the poverty level, who are living paycheck to paycheck. And that's where we've got to stop. And again, good governance, return it to the simple basics. And, I would make my friend Drew and the Libertarian Party happy with that. Return it to the basics. Do what we're supposed to. And the Pima County Board of Supervisors need to collaborate with the county attorney and the county sheriff. And I'd love to go into that discussion real quick. And restore our civil society and our lawful society.
Well, you're listening to Janet Wittenbraker, candidate for Pima County District 3 Supervisor, and Grant Kruger here on Jump in Tucson. Janet, you referenced the county attorney race over here and how the supervisors need to work with the county attorney. Expound upon that one a little bit for me.
So the county attorney is, there are two candidates. One is Mike Jetty. The other one is Lori Conover. They are both Democrats. That race will be decided in the primary. Listen to me, Democrats and independents. If you're an independent, you have until July 19th to request a ballot, or you can go into an early voting place throughout the election season. And sadly, that's what it has become.
Election month, I always say now. It's not election day anymore.
Early polling places open July 3rd, as does the mail-in ballots are sent out all the way through to the 30th. It is imperative that you choose independence. I'm speaking to independents. You choose what ballot you want. And there are, on the Republican side, we have three really great sheriff candidates. And it's going to be for the Republicans and those independents that choose a Republican ticket to decide who's going to move on, because we need a new sheriff. It's that simple. And frankly, I'll go as far as saying we need a new county attorney. We need our laws enforced, and we need to restore our society.
So Janet J.L. Wittenbraker, are you endorsing a Democrat candidate over here then for county attorney?
I am not. That's not for me to decide. I can't even say, but I am one vote, because I cannot vote in this election. I'm a registered Republican. Naturally, I can vote in the primary election. And guess what? I'm endorsing the candidate for Board of Supervisors, District 3.
Shocking. This is breaking news over here on Jump in Tucson.
But the voters, have to decide. If you need help finding the information, I am more than happy to help. And again, you can reach me, forgive the repetition, but you can reach me at janet4pima.com if you have any questions on how to research your candidates.
That's excellent news. And so on the Republican side, on the primary coming up, there's really like two potential, you know, sources over here on local government, right? You've got the sheriff race, where there's three candidates, and we've heard from a couple of them here on Jump in Tucson as well, too. And then the District 2 has two candidates running as well, too. So that's got a competitive Republican primary, right, between John Backer and Beatrice Corey Stevens.
Correct. I cannot vote in that district. It's not my district. It's for those district members to decide who they want. I like both candidates. It's up to you.
A well-placed answer over there, very political and probably a safe play, but very understandable as well, too. But there's a limited period of time for you listeners out there to go request a ballot. If you are party not declared, if you are independent, you've got to request, and you got to pick either the D or R side. And that's not picking for your voter registration. That's clearly just picking this ballot on the primary coming up. Election month starts July 3rd. That's not that far away, with today being the 18th of June. Like, this is coming up hot and quick.
And if you do want to vote in the primary, and you should, and you're not registered, you have until July 1st to be registered. It's easy to do. You can reach out to me. You can reach out to the GOP. You can also just go on to the Secretary of State website and register like that.
No, love it. We'd love our listeners to get out there and be involved. No matter where you side politically, you've got to participate in local politics if you want to help make a change locally over here. Janet, you've run for both mayor and running for now District 3 supervisor. Like, these are big, big positions here and in the city of Tucson and Pima County. Some of the most powerful that are out there as well, too. We're going to take a quick break. We've got one more segment with Janet coming up after the break here on Jump in Tucson. Make sure you listen tomorrow again. Ted Maxwell coming up to take my spot. Tom Moulton coming up on Thursday. Ed Ackerley on Friday. Don't go anywhere. One more segment with Janet Wittenbrecker coming up after the break. You're listening to Grant Kruger, Jump in Tucson, 10:30. AM, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back, 520. Thanks for joining us and spending part of your morning with Jump in Tucson. We've got one more segment over here with Janet J.L. Wittenbrecker, candidate for Pima County District 3 Supervisor, live in studio. Welcome back, Janet.
Thank you very much.
At the break, we were talking about voter turnouts and low voter turnouts, particularly in these primaries, and you were urging people to come out and vote. Expound upon that one a little bit for me here.
Well, and I may have already said this, so forgive me if I'm repeating. We know in the city of Tucson election, only 24% of registered voters showed up. 24%. Now, remember, I got 30,000 votes. Had the even a fraction of the Republican Party showed up to vote, you would have a different mayor right now. We know in the primaries, voter turnout is typically low. Remember, some elections are decided in the primaries. In Arizona, unfortunately, we have a low historic turnout or historically low turnout. Whereas even in 2022, when our governor was being decided, only 45% of voters turned out, with only 50% of Christians voting. I don't know if they're waiting for the rapture. But I prefer not to. I prefer to take action. And that's one thing you said before the break, that I'm running for a very powerful position. I'm running to change my community. And it's because I see failures in my community and I'm done complaining. Voters, it's no longer good enough for you to vote. We need you to get 10 other people to vote. We need you knocking on your neighbor's doors, asking him, did you vote? That is part of our constitutional republic. And if we don't vote, we fail and we cease to strive. Thrive. And this is another thing that's really important. Some people are like, I'll just move when it gets bad enough. I can't stay here anymore. And I know people who have left for Nashville, Tennessee. If we don't stay and fight, we just become an extension of California. And so, again, if you need help registering to vote, if you need talking points, if you want to go knock on doors with me, and I like knocking on doors. I've met some very wonderful people, very wonderful people. Contact me at janet4pima.com. Now, this is the awkward part. I need your money, as well as I need your voices. Campaigns are expensive. And this is my back-to-back campaign. Look how skinny I've gotten. I need to eat as well. I need your help. Please visit my website at janet4pima.com. Help me raise the funds necessary. Remember, there are four candidates running for that Democratic seat, and they want it. They want it bad. There is already a lot of money on the table. And if you listen to Mr. DeSimone's show after the finances are due, you'll find out exactly how much money they have. So I do need your help.
No, this is a very powerful position, Janet. And for the listeners out there to understand what the difference it would make to have two Republicans on the Board of Supervisors, even if you didn't have a majority, under Robert's Rules of Order, you could at least get a first and a second. You could bring topics up to the table and have people vote and put the supervisors on the record for their positions as well, too. And so this would make a very substantive difference. How do you think you could reach across the aisle, like assuming you won? Right. But it was a 3-2 majority on the Democrat side. How could you reach across the aisle to get policies done in place with a 3-2 Democrat majority?
Look, I can get along with just about anyone, and I think that goes back to you're asking me, have I mended bridges with Ed and Zach? Of course I have, but there needs to be a fundamental understanding. There are nice things to do, and I think that's where we've gotten off track in our government, is we want to fix things by throwing money at it. But what we truly need to realize, what is the function of government? What is the function of society? If we can aid society, and this is how I reach across the table, okay, if this building will work to benefit this charitable organization that's giving back to our community, then maybe we should lease it at $1 a year, which is within our legal parameters to so, and we meet both the needs of our governmental responsibility, but as well as our societal responsibility. But we got to get the government out of trying to take care of everything for us. And I think we can explain that. But I'm going to tell you, the Republican Party is going to stick together after the election. And we are going to take the majority because we're a solid force.
I like the confidence. Well, the entire slate of Board of Supervisors is up for election, all five districts, right? And so you've got Steve Spain running in District 1 against what will be most likely Rex Scott. You've got a Republican primary between Corey and John in District 2. Janet is going to win the Republican primary here in District 3. You have heard it here first on Jump in Tucson, right? District 4 is incumbent Steve Christie. And District 5, you've got Val Romero, who will be going up against Adelita Grijalva, correct?
Correct. Now, you won't see Val in the primary. Obviously, he's an independent. But don't be discouraged. Wait till the general. We'll make things happen.
It sounds like a plan. You heard it here first from Janet on Jump in Tucson. Again, we salute everybody out there taking the risk to come and run for public office. Until you put it out there and you know, see and hear the negative comments from the other side of the aisle, particularly from people that actually aren't taking that risk, that aren't participating, you don't know. It's kind of like having a Yelp page for restaurants, only on your own personal life and everything you stand for in politics. And it makes it not so easy. And so, Janet, I salute you for taking that risk, that leap of faith to run both for mayor of Tucson, right? Not an easy feat to do with the voter registration in the city of Tucson, and for District 3, which, as you've waxed about, is a little bit closer, right? Give us one more time your website where listeners can find you. Reach out to Janet if you want to participate in this race.
Janet4Pima.com. You can also reach me on my cell phone at 520-275-1491. Don't worry if I'm occupied or asleep, it's turned off. If you have questions, I'm happy to answer your questions.
That's amazing. Thank you, Janet, for sharing, obviously, your personal information over there, too. A lot of candidates want to go out there and put their cell phone out on the radio. You can get some pretty tough responses over there. But my advice to you, sort of like even on the restaurant side, is you can't always read the comment section, right? Like, there's definitely a lot of people that criticize, lobbing criticism from the safety of the internet onto the other side of the fence over there that aren't willing to participate, whether it's in business, life, or politics. You've got to get out there and get involved. And I think you're doing a great job in this one. And I think you're going to see a great response from voters in District 3 as well. We're wrapping up over here on Jump in Tucson. I hope you've enjoyed spending this hour learning about Janet and things that we could and should do better here in Southern Arizona. We really don't want our downtown to turn into a TMZ Tucson with trash cans getting horked through the businesses' windows, with our government overreaching and overstepping and controlling all aspects of our lives. So do go out there, get involved, participate in local politics, support your local restaurants and all your local businesses. Thanks for joining us on Jump in Tucson. Hang in there next week for me on Wednesday. Tomorrow we've got General Ted Maxwell following us up with the engagement hour on Jump in Tucson. It has been our pleasure to spend the morning with you. Thank you for joining us on 10:30 a.m. The Voice for local news and talk.